Hello, folks. Welcome to another fun-filled Wii Top 10 mini-podcast. This is a third-party podcast. It's number 8. It's Muramasa, the Demon Blade. I'm Zachary Miller here with Andrew Brown.
Good morning.
And Carmine Red.
Oboru Muramasa, your turn. Thanks. I probably horribly butchered it, but I just had to try it.
Muramasa, developed by Vanillaware, the people who brought you Grim Grimori, Odin's Sphere, Princess Crown, and later early next year, Dragon's Crown. These guys specialize in 2D sprite-based games. Yeah.
Tapestries, nice word.
There you go, tapestries. They've really only made two side-scrolling games, and those were Odin's Sphere and Muramasa. The Grim Grimori and Princess Crown, I think they're both strategy RPGs. Correct me if I'm wrong about Princess Crown, but I believe it is. And Dragon's Crown is going to be a beat-em-up. Actually, not too much unlike the game we're talking about tonight. Muramasa is kind of a two games in one. You get to choose a character, and play through the entire game with different bosses and I think different locations.
Yes.
And it's actually a pretty full featured game. Each campaign is probably 10 hours long.
And it's worth it to play through both. Actually, it's one of those things where you play through it, you see this story, you see this perspective, and then you play through it again.
Yeah,
so it just becomes layered.
And you can upgrade your weapons differently based on who you pick.
Well, yes. When you've completed both campaigns, you actually have the option to go back and revisit the character-specific areas with the other character and unlock additional swords and that. I believe the abstract of my article I'm writing is gotta wield them all. There are actually 108 different swords to collect throughout this game. And I'm not sure, it may be based on the 108 earthly desires of Buddhism. That's a big thing with the Bushido sword style.
Oh.
I'm not sure, but that might be an inspiration there.
That's interesting. I know you can kind of accidentally lock yourself out from getting certain swords. Your swords kind of go down a path, I think based on your level and your... Yeah, well, I actually forget what it's based on, but you can lock yourself out of certain paths down the upgrade chain.
Didn't think you could. As long as you actually have all of the swords above that particular blade, it's available to get.
Okay. I beat Momohime's chapter, and at the end of the game, I was not able to upgrade any further, even though there were swords below my current stuff.
Oh, those are unlockable ones from the extra bosses in the extra mode afterwards.
Okay.
Sounds See, like when, you're not quite done with the game, huh?
No.
You're less than a third of the way through.
I need to play through the other dude's campaign. Now I need to play both of them again because my Wii's save data was destroyed.
I think we all played as Momohime first. Gotta go with the hot chick.
Yes.
Which is interesting to note, Momohime literally means Princess Peach.
Are you kidding me?
Oh,
that's funny.
I totally didn't get it.
What's the name of the guy?
Keisuke, I think.
That's right.
I'm not sure of the meaning of his name. I just thought it was hilarious. Oh, Momo is Peach and Hime is like princess, so.
Oh, that's too funny.
Yeah.
The thing I like most about this game, you know, it is a very repetitious game. You know, you go into a room, you kill 100 dudes, you move on to the next area, you kill 100 dudes, you keep going. But it's just so beautiful. It's such a beautiful, good-looking game. Mm-hmm. And so it could be the same bad guy over and over again, and I wouldn't care because it's such a stunningly good-looking game. This is Vanillaware's, you know, this is what they do best.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't think it's... You know, there's game systems. You've got the game system of playing it, the gameplay, the fighting, and then you've got some other metagame systems like the forging of your weapons and, you know, managing your food. I don't think that's a bad thing that the game doesn't go way too crazy on stuff like that. I don't think it's bad. I think it is a simple game, well done. And they kept it, you know, they didn't add too much craziness to it, and then they just polished the hell out of it.
Yeah.
And you, I think you could actually that's fine for a game to be that.
Yeah. You could actually go through the game without doing any of the sword upgrades or any of the item management or all the equipment you can collect and all that. It's solely there optional. I mean, it makes the game easier and you can get a lot further with it, but the fact that it's not emphasized and it's not dependent on that, then it's really good.
Yeah.
And the
music's great too.
Oh yes. Yeah. Absolutely everything is taken out of Edo period Japan. Even the map screens are based on the original 1640, I think. The maps that they used to have that they've got in like museums and stuff. The layering of, as you said, the game is so beautiful. There's gotta be at least, 10 layers per background?
I don't know about 10, but they're a lot.
Yes.
And they're all and the most impressive ones have some animation in them.
Oh yeah, the cornfields with all the like the wheat mm-hmm. blowing in the wind.
Or the oceans.
Oh yeah.
And can I also say I just love the fact that they kept the Japanese language voice and subtitles.
Yes.
You know, that just adds to the whole thing. You know, they made definitely the right choice there. I really do feel like I'm in some sort of Akira Kurosawa movie or samurai movie. It just fully immerses you.
Yeah, it does.
And I wanted to see if you guys like this too, but can I just say the food in this game?
Yes.
Oh my god. there's something about games and food for me when it's in there. It's like when I was young, River City Ransom, you know, you'd go in and I'd buy an apple pie and a smile. In this game, oh my god, even making rice balls. And this is how you use jiggle physics, people. You know, you need jiggle physics for, like, flan and soup. That is good stuff. Mochi balls, oh my god. This is not a game to play when you are hungry. Oh.
I smell a feature in the near future, the culinary delights of games.
There were a few of those food items that you buy that I kind of wanted to eat after I saw them.
Oh yeah,
it's touches like that that I'm happy that it's the developer took this game and they knew what they were going to make. They knew how far they were going to go, and then they knew what they were going to obsess over. You know, stuff like food, stuff like the backgrounds.
Yeah,
the attention to detail in absolutely everything. I was actually just playing it an hour ago, going through the. I think it's Hida, the snowy mountain area. And you stop to stand still, and there's little frost coming off the breath of the characters.
Yeah.
There's the snowflakes reflect with what you're doing as you run past. It's amazing. I don't know how they managed to take a 2D style and just put so much depth to it. It's incredible.
Well, it's definitely one of the... It might be the best-looking 2D game on the system.
Wario Land comes close, but yeah.
Wario Land comes very close, but it's Wario Land. Yeah, but Wario Land doesn't have those backgrounds, man.
Yeah, Wario's more about the smooth movements and the animation, whereas this is
all animation, man.
Yeah.
Have you guys played Odin Sphere?
No, but after playing this, I want to.
It's just as good looking. If either of you have a PS3, it's a PlayStation 2 classic, and it runs better on the PS3. It has real frame rate problems on the PS2, but it's the exact same kind of thing: gorgeous animated, layered backgrounds, and kind of multi-segmented character sprites. Just amazing. These guys do what they do very, very well.
The masters of their craft.
Mm.
Yeah, and it sort of makes me really happy that 2D's seeing a resurgence now. And we have examples like this to point at and say, you know, 2D, there's still new places to go with it, and you can still do art styles that are just absolutely outstanding with modern hardware.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
And I want there to continue to be 2D games forever. I think there was a time when... You know, I guess, the early aughts, where you didn't see a lot of 2Ds. And then it's coming back, and that's a good thing for gaming, I think.
Oh, yeah. You know, I don't know if this game could run on it, but I think Muramasa would look really spectacular on the 3DS with the layered backgrounds.
Oh my gosh. Right.
We have to get in touch with Vanillaware. Make another one.
There you go. Heck, just port it.
Yeah.
Port it and add some
3D. Oh, I'd buy it again. Yeah.
I would too. I like portable games more than console games because I can play them wherever I happen to be. Although Muramasa does lend itself to longer playthroughs, longer sessions. But, you know, with the 3DS, you could just close it and put it to sleep. So, yeah. I would like to see that someday.
Yes. I just remembered, you mentioned earlier about the repetition. I did notice a lot of the background areas are the same, but as you said, since they're so absolutely gorgeous to look at, you could continue doing it for forever. And there was one thing I wanted to say about that. What was it? I'm not sure. I will come back to this.
Well, VanillaWare is sort of like, they're not a big developer, right? I mean, my understanding is they specialize in these, and they're, what, mid-sized, a little smaller?
They're a pretty small developer.
So I really think, again, the impressive thing with games like this is for them to say, we know our limits, and then we know where we can really excel.
Yes.
You know, and the problem with especially with video games nowadays, it's more and more and more and more. You know, just because you can add this and this and this.
Yeah, like multiplayer in Metroid Prime 2.
But I really appreciate restraint because sometimes that's the harder path to choose. And when
it's the harder path, and it forces you to be more creative.
Yes, and you see that with a game like this. You see where they were able to redirect their energy.
Yes.
So, I mean, and again, I think if you think about it, like a lot of games in the NES area, it doesn't have to be new every second. It just has to be good gameplay, and it has to be something there to compel you to move you forward. You know, I mean, I did tons of repetitive stuff on the NES, on the Super NES, and even today in a lot of games. It's not so much that I need the gameplay to be different every time. I just need a reason to keep playing it, and I need to know why I'm playing it, you know?
Yeah.
And I think Muramasa does that.
I think I need to start replaying Muramasa now. I'm kind of psyched up. One thing I do want to say about the game is that the character design, not just the good guys, but the support characters and the bad guys and the bosses are all really inventive.
Oh, my God. Great.
Yes. And the bosses are huge.
Everything is taken strictly out of Japanese folklore. There's, like, the Oni demons, the water kappa turtles, everything like that. But the designs are so unique. I've never seen them portrayed in this particular style before. And, as I said before, the layering, even the layering of the sprites themselves, there's the different arm movement as opposed to the body, and that it just gives everything this sort of three-dimensional look, even though it looks like a moving painting.
Yeah.
I love it.
I think they were actually underselling the quality of what they did with the animations in this game and how they were able to get essentially 2D. You know, they could look like just basic 2D puppets, but it looked natural, you know?
Yeah,
absolutely. And it's because you don't have that, you know, if you go back to a game like, Super Castlevania IV, when you have multi-sprite bosses with different moving parts, they're really just, you can tell that they're, you know, an arm pasted over a body and a head pasted on. They all have different animation frames. But with Muramasa, it's pretty clear when you pay attention to it that each, you know, different body part is a separate layer with separate animation, but they integrate all the different layers of the character so well that you just don't really notice unless you really look for it, if that makes any sense at all.
No. It does, yes, yeah. I was reminded of the jiggle physics again. those Yuki Onnas, the snow women. Yay.
Oh, yeah. And I was also Momohime's fox friend.
Yes. Oh. The other guy has a fox friend as well.
But I think she has a huge ass, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
jiggle physics are best when used on mochi balls, okay? Just there.
On big spheres, Carmine. Big spheres.
Well, then just make me a giant mochi ball and call it a day.
There you go.
I wanted to speak about the difficulty of the game. It progresses really well. I wanted to point out there's actually two difficulties that are open up as you start the game. But unlike just, oh, this is a harder version of the game, I thought it was interesting that they have different focuses on different playstyles. I think they're Musou and Shura, which I do have the translation here. I went to the trouble of that. Musou means unparalleled, where it focuses more on the exploration and the leveling up and just the looking at everything as you go along. And basically, you can cut through enemies like they're made of warm butter. It's actually quite a satisfying thing to beat up a ton of enemies in a matter of seconds or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But to oppose that, the Shura, which means scene of carnage, rather than just being a difficult or a more difficult version of the same game, it focuses more on the battling itself, and you actually need to specifically use each of the blocking and the evasion techniques thoroughly, and each battle in itself is its own, I guess, its own style of game. And they're two very different experiences, and it's just playing the same game in slightly different ways, and it's another way to make the game that much more creative. I like that.
That's cool. I'll have to... Maybe when I start it up here, I'll play as the guy, because I didn't play as him before, and I'll try that the first mode you talked about, because I didn't play that mode the first time I played.
Okay.
That's cool that I didn't know that. Before we wrap it up, I would like to say that people who really like this game can buy a pretty awesome figure of Momohime.
Coming out the end of the year, I think.
End of the year. It's a second run, actually. She's been out before.
She sold out like hotcakes last time.
Oh, yeah. She sold out real quick. And then they're coming out with a figure of Momohime's fox buddy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's unpainted right now, but it's in prototype.
Damn it. I'm broke.
Keep us updated, Zach.
Oh, I will. Don't worry.
Oh, I already have Momohime on order, and you guys can look forward to a Mariobilia in the future when it does come through.
So. I'm excited about that. I missed the pre-order on that one. I'll have to get it on my figure collection someday when somebody's selling it.
Good luck.
But it's gorgeous. It's so detailed. It looks exactly like her in the game. It's really incredible. So, final thoughts, gents? What one thing you have to say about the game? Go, Carmine.
A simple game, well done, mochi balls.
I would have to say art in motion. You need to play this.
Yes. I would say much the same thing. I'd say that it's one of the most beautiful games on the system, and even if you don't like brawlers, you should play it just to watch it, because it's... You'll never see anything like it on the Wii. So, there you have it. Muramasa the Demon Blade out from VanillaWare. Did XSEED publish it here?
Yes, I think so. I know in PAL regions, Australia and UK, it was Rising Star Games.
Okay, I know it's not Atlas. Yeah, so it must be XSEED, but it's a great game. You if you haven't played it,
Ignition,
it must...
maybe? Ignition.
Oh, Ignition. Yeah. I think you're right. It is Ignition. I always forget they exist. But if you don't have this game, it's got to be cheap as dirt right now. I think I got it for $20 like 6 months after it came out. So it's you should go find it and play it. It is well worth the time.
Especially if you like Japanese folklore and
Japanese
samurai
folklore, yeah.
films and things like that.
Yeah, that's true. It is very Japanese in a good way. So go play it.
All right.
You go.
Okay.
Bye, folks.
Ciao.
Ciao.